Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
For you.
Know that life is a gamble all along. Winners are losers.
Welcome back, 17 till the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being a part of my day. That's Atlanta Rhythm Section bringing us back. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Leo Haviland is our guest. He's a longtime Wall Street expert, Wall Street analyst. He's worked for Goldman Sachs, Sempra, Energy Trading, etc. He's the author of Words on the Street, and he helps his clients understand the basic fundamentals of supply and demand, and we are the beneficiaries of his wisdom and knowledge, and we're so grateful for that. Leo, thanks for being here. One of the things that I try to do, we talked about the British and the EU situation that's going on in the last segment. One of the things that I try to do is at least once or twice a week is bring to my audience perspectives on global issues, because every small business owner in America is connected either straight line or dotted line to some part of the global marketplace, and even restaurants that have customers with local plants, there's a 50-50 chance that plant is owned by a European or a South Korean company or something like that. And so what goes on in China has a lot to do with what goes on in the global marketplace, doesn't it?
Yes, and you raise excellent points there, Jim. Why China matters so much nowadays is, of course, in a globally interconnected economy, they're, you know, as big as the United States. And for America, they're roughly 20% of our trade-weighted dollars. So they're a huge trading partner of ours, and we of them. There are some interesting parallels between what's going on in China and here. Our marketplaces, the financial ones, such as bonds, currencies, and even equities, increasingly are intertwined. And what's going on there in recent years, their huge debt buildup, has parallels in what's occurring in the United States and elsewhere in the world. And lastly, the political divisions we see in the United States have some interesting parallels, although a different expression, in China's external and internal political adventures, which seem to be signs of some economic slowing down there.
Right. No, there's no question about that. And of course, I've always been suspect of their numbers anyway, their GDP numbers anyway. I've never believed that they were actually growing at 10%, or even if they were, that was actually, you know, a good thing. But China, I've always felt, I say I've always, as I've gotten to know more about China, especially through the eyes and the of my experts like you and others like Gordon Chang and Ted Fishman and people like that. Is that China has more to fear from itself than it does from us, or as we do from them? What do you think?
They certainly have substantial internal concerns. Their debt buildup in recent years seems to have been an effort to sustain some of the lofty growth numbers.
Which is not unlike what Japan did, that threw them into a multi-generation a recession, basically, almost permanent state of recession.
Excellent point, Jim. And what we may see, if this is not too far afield, on the central bank side, various enablers who have been encouraging, by their own actions, debt accumulation and easy money. The IMF emphasizes easing, mm-hmm. the European Central Bank, the Federal Reserve, and, of course, the Bank of Japan has an easy money policy. And all that encourages the ongoing lack of willingness to resolve debt issues.
Mm-hmm. Are you concerned about a global debt bubble? And for back, yes. For lack of a better way to explain it, to describe it, that's what I'll say then, a debt bubble. Are you concerned about that?
I'm concerned, but as we both know, these bubbles can go on for quite an extensive period of time, and one can await many years for it to...
Because we keep propping each other up, supporting the other's fantasies?
That helps, but also the rhetoric and wordplay of politicians and central bankers, especially the central bankers who
right.
make speeches about the new normal and progress and headwinds rather than saying we're scared.
Right. So you're saying political correct your economic language rather than plain English or plain Chinese.
Obfuscation is important in economics and politics, as
yeah.
we both know, Jim.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, you know, I keep thinking about Charles McKay's book, Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds.
Yes.
You know, I mean, are we close to that? Those are stories about isolated, you know, the Mississippi scheme, Tulipomania, et cetera. Are we getting to the point where that book could write a chapter about that for the new edition of it on a global scale?
We're probably in the middle of the ongoing story, and it usually takes the ending of the story for somebody to write a chapter
yeah.
for a book like that. But the trend worldwide for debt, although it's not as dangerous, say, in the United States and some other regions as it is in Japan,
mm-hmm.
it's still worrisome.
Yeah, still worrisome. And all it takes is one person, as we saw in 08, one crack in the chain and the whole thing falls apart. Quick break, right back with Leo Haviland. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.